Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and thank you for joining me today. Well, with the Lord's help, we'll conclude this message on how to have successful prayer, effective prayer. And we've been looking at the first 10 verses of Psalm 25, where David exhibited aspects or elements of prayer that are very important for us. First of all, he expresses a wholeheartedness. He said, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." It's not just his voice, his mind's not wandering, but with everything in him. Like so often, I love his expression, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me," right? So with all that is within you, you need to be wholehearted as you're praying to God. He's not interested in lukewarmness. He wants sincerity. And then faith in verse 2, he said, "Oh my God, I trust in thee." And nothing pleases God more than bowing our spirits and our souls in submission to His will, that we're trusting His goodness, we're trusting Him to make a way for us. And then we have to desire His ways. Verse 4, "Show me thy paths, O Lord, teach me thy, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." A desire for His truth. Number 4, that's "lead me in thy truth and teach me." And then there's a desire for His honor in verses 7 and 11. "For thy goodness' sake, O Lord, for thy name's sake," we want to see God glorified by answering prayer. Now, let's look at the final, other couple elements, I guess you could call them, that are a part of effective prayer expressed in this psalm. And that sixth one is patience. Yes, I know that's hard, but patience actually underlines our faith and trust and our willingness to see God's will done. Verse 5 says, "On thee do I wait all the day." The word tells us to let our requests be known unto God, but let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's James. Beloved, there's no just a virtue in waiting in itself, but we are waiting on Him. That's what's important, that we're waiting on Him. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Praise God. And then the seventh point that I'd like to share with you is confession. And of course, that's very important as we pray to ask the Lord to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 7, he says, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions." Beloved, we have to be willing to confess our sins. We can't hide sin. We can't gloss over the transgressions of earlier days. And those who would deal with a holy and righteous God must be perfectly honest in the purposes of their heart. God is not mocked. As a man sows, he will reap. And remember in Acts, the 3rd chapter, verse 19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." And we know that as we repent, then times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Now, let us look at some of the encouragements to prayer that God gives, actually in this psalm too. He says, we're finding in this psalm that we're to let our requests be known unto God. And in verse 8, he says, "Because the Lord," that is speaking of, "He's good and upright." In verse 8, amen. He is good and upright. God is a God of love and He's a God of light. And the goodness of a father is here associated with the uprightness of a righteous sovereign God. And He teaches sinners in the way, because he's willing to teach. And what condescension of an almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God. He's willing to become the teacher of sinners. And that's what He wants. His desire is to lead you and I, beloved, in His way. And also, he guides the meek. What a wonderful, precious encouragement to prayer this is. He promises he will guide us. What a blessing to know that our God is not going to forsake us. He who began that good work, he's faithful to complete it. Praise God. But he will guide the meek. And that's found in verse 9. The meek he will guide in judgment. The meek he will teach his way. He doesn't guide a man because he's rich or learned, for not everybody can have those attainments, but any man can be meek and learn heavenly wisdom. And then he says in verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And what is he saying here? Say, mercy and truth are our portion if we will keep his word, his covenant, his testimonies. Mercy and truth, well, they're a part of our daily needs. Mercy, we need forgiveness and cleansing, and we need his truth to guide and to strengthen us and to satisfy us. And to get out of the Lord's paths is to get out of his channel of supply. And beloved, we need that. So just by way then of quick review, for successful prayer, according to this psalm, we have to be sincere or wholehearted. We must have faith, a desire for his ways, a desire for truth and his honor. And of course, we must be patient and we must be willing to confess our sins. Now, there is another aspect of prayer that is covered in other portions of the Bible, and that is the power of agreement. And beloved, one of my richest treasures and one of the greatest blessings I have is the friendship of my UCM spiritual family. And two great things have enabled me to keep going through all the years, through some very dark times. First of all, it's been God's grace and strength, and then it's been the prayers and faithfulness of my UCM partners. I know what it is to go through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping. And as I read some of the letters that come in, God's love and compassion just overwhelm me. There's just so many heart-wrenching situations that some of God's people are going through. Now, as you're listening, you may be on the top of the mountain, but beloved, I assure you, there are some saints that are going through great trials of their faith. And God's word exhorts us that we must reach out to others in their tribulations. There may be some friends that you know are going through a really difficult time. When the early church was tried, God's fire purified the dross. And I believe the same thing's happening today. We who are children of God must stand not only with the Lord, but with one another. Beloved, the darker it gets, the later the hour, the more we need one another. Your burdens must be mine and vice versa. There have been great answers to prayer when we believe God and pray for one another, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, as Galatians the 6th chapter verse 2 says. You know, I know what it is to sometimes feel very much alone. You might feel like Job, really alone now, deserted by friends and loved ones, and you might not understand the dimensions of the problems and difficulties that you're facing right now. You know, just like Job, he had no idea that all the court of heaven was standing watch. He had no idea that God had actually given permission to Satan as he took down that divine hedge that was round about him. But beloved, no matter how deeply Satan afflicted him, his children were taken from him, all his wealth, his wife turned against him. Nonetheless, this faithful servant of God would not deny or he would not curse God. Satan had made this accusation against Job that the only reason Job served God was because of his blessings and because of the hedge of protection that God had put around his life. And, you know, so God said, okay, go at it. How proud God must have been of Job when Job, because he didn't understand, but he proved Satan wrong. And of course, God knew that Job would. So, beloved, I just want to encourage you. What was happening in Job's life was not because of sin. The Lord himself stated, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man one that feareth God and escheweth evil. That's Job, the first chapter, verse 8. Yet, as we see this amazing drama unfold, Job learned some very valuable lessons about the ways of the Lord, as well as the person and nature of God. Now, what did Satan want to do? He wanted to drive Job away from God. And, beloved, can I give you a clue? Your battles that you're going through, the devil is trying to do the very same thing. He's using and attempting the same strategy to destroy or injure your relationship with God. And, beloved, we've got to trust God's goodness. God's loving, great heart longs for us to really know Him in the midst of our trials and to run to Him for comfort and for strength. After a revelation of God's holiness, His power and majesty, Job could finally say, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." That's Job 42 and 5. James says, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we hold them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Praise God. Beloved, whatever trial or tribulation you may be going through, Jesus counsels us in John 16:33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." As Job came into a new relationship with his Creator, the Lord blessed his latter end with twice as much as he had before. And I believe, beloved, this is God's heart for us all. So I invite you to take advantage of the power of agreeing prayer. In a moment, the announcer is going to give that contact information, and note that your requests are confidential, just between you, the Lord, and myself. And as I pray, I'll send back to you whatever God gives for your blessing and encouragement. Well, beloved, it's been a joy and a blessing to share with you today, and as I do all week. Just remember that God's mercies are new every morning. Thank you for joining me. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.